Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who has clean hands? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not lift up a soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from God in his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, O ye, O ancient days, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient days, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his words in the mighty name of Jesus. The King of hosts. That is the Lord, the King of glory, rather. The King of glory. That's the title of the message this morning. The King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The King of glory is our Father, our Lord, Jesus Christ. He was described in Sunday school today during the rapture. The one that is coming back. He is the coming King. Whether we like it or not, either the world believe it or not, our Lord Jesus Christ is what? Is coming back. The King of glory, when he comes, will meet us and we meet him in the sky in the mighty name of Jesus. Our names will never be found missing from the book of life in the mighty name of Jesus. The lesson that the King of glory is coming. David put his pen and paper together and decided to write this psalm, which we read. The earth is of the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell in it. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. And Bible scholars told us that this psalm was properly written to celebrate the entrance of the ark of God, into Jerusalem. The ark was where the Ten Commandments and other artifacts of historical importance were housed and was a symbol of God's actual presence among his people. It was a symbol of the King of glory being there among his people. But if you look at the book very well, you discover that the children of Israel turned that ark into something else. They were living a simple life. The political system was corrupted. The sacrifices to the Lord was abominable. They did things that children of God are not supposed to do. The political class was nothing to write home about, just as it is happening in many parts of the world today. Then a war broke out between them and the Philistines. God has already departed from them. The war cannot be won. And they knew that. But within their own imagination, they said, let us go bring the ark into the war, into war front. And they went and they brought the ark. They turned the ark, not the presence of God itself, but the ark itself, into an idol that they can talk, about and worship. It's not that they were interested in the presence of God, but they were interested in the physical things. As we see nowadays in many of these religious organizations. And so there was a big shout. Big shout when the ark entered the war front. To the extent that the Philistines recognized that indeed they are in trouble. And the Philistines said to themselves, with that ark in the presence in the camp, we are finished. We need to fight this war with everything we have. They fought it, and they won the war. And they seized that ark. We all know the story. So the ark was to be brought back to Jerusalem. And we all know what happened. You know, I don't want to go into all those things now. So, but as finally the King of Glory comes to Jerusalem, you know, this song that we read glories in the fact that the Lord created the cosmos and rules over it. That is verse 1 and 2 that I read before. And yet, he comes down to his people and lives among them because of his covenant with them. Look at verse 3 to 10. That's what he's saying. He said, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. Such an individual will receive blessings from the Lord, righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Israel. So lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ye ancient gates, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong, mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ye ancient gates, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. The King of Glory will enter into you. He will come into your life. He will come into your work. He will come into your endeavors in the mighty name of Jesus. And you shall be triumphant all days in the name of Jesus. So, you would call that this remarkable paradox that God is infinitely great and powerful, yet delights to stoop so low down to meet the needy people. It's like the president coming down and walking on the street to meet the homeless, to shake, you know, the poor, without any paraphernalia of security, secret service running around. It's tough. It's tough. But that is what our God did. And this resounds throughout the Bible. If you look at, let's look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, can the technical please help me? Isaiah 57, verse 15. God that is so powerful, yet comes down to his people, the King of Glory. Are we there? Isaiah 57, 15? Or if you can see Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Anyone? Yeah. Look at Isaiah 50. This is 57. Verses. Yeah, I want 15. Verse 15. He said, for thus shall the high and the lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy. And he said, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of the contrite one. Let's look at this, the second one. Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2. God, in his powerful might, still come down. Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, two. For all those things are mine. Everything. Everything belongs to God. He made everything. My hand made. And all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. Can you imagine that? And of a contrite spirit, and trembled at my word. Eh? Imagine me being called upon to come and meet or to come and meet President Biden. Or President Biden just look at his phone, decide to call me. Imagine that Nigerian family that the president, you know, elect called that time. Imagine the excitement. Just look at his phone. All those people, those of us that are donating $2, $1 to his campaign. You know, he just look at, and he does that. He just look at, and then spot this Nigerian, you know, that random called, and it was this Nigerian family. And they were so excited. And he promised them that one day they will visit the White House. Ah. And this is what God is doing to us on a daily basis. Yeah, we don't appreciate it. God will forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus. So the ultimate proof that this is who God is comes to us in the gospel. For in the fullness of time, the high and lofty God came near to his people, tangibly near in flesh and in blood. When Jesus Christ visited us, the ark that David brought into Jerusalem was a box containing the presence of God. But the son of David who came to Jerusalem was a man who himself was the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Although God, the Son, enjoyed eternal glory in the presence of his Father, he drew near to the needy sinners in the person of Jesus Christ. He drew near to you when you call upon his name. And that is why the second part of this, our fasting and prayer, has been just ask for mercy. Ask that God comes to you. Ask that God draws near to you. Ask that God hear you. And God will hear you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. He is the true King of glory who will come at the end of history to establish his eternal kingdom on earth. If you believe this, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. A better hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is coming. I remember that songwriter, the king is coming. Do I remember his name again? Nathaniel Bassey. Each time I hear that song, I am excited. The king is coming. Let's be on our feet this morning. Let's be on our feet. Just begin to thank God because the king is coming. He is the king of glory. He is coming to your life. King of glory, establish yourself in my life. Look, when the King of glory established himself in the life of that woman with the issue of blood, the story changed. When the King of glory established himself in the life of Nicodemus, the story of Nicodemus changed. When the King of glory established himself in Peter, that guy that was very, you know, frightful, his life changed. All the remaining apostles, they were hiding. But when the King of glory came in on that Pentecost Sunday, it was a different thing. People were wondering, are these not those uneducated fishermen following Christ when he was alive? Because the King of glory came. Ask the King of glory to come into your life this morning. King of glory, establish yourself in my life. Establish yourself in my endeavor. Establish yourself in the life of my children. Establish yourself in your church. King of glory. The King is coming. I believe you are coming back. We were even taught in Sunday school this morning. Because the King is coming. Our King is coming. What is that area of your life that you want the King of glory to be established? Talk to him this morning. Thank him and tell him, Lord, I want you in my marriage. I want you in my work. I want you in my secular life. I want you, oh Lord, in my finances. I want you in my plans. Talk to the King of glory this morning. Students, talk to the King of glory. I want you in my education. I want you in my intellect. When you have the King of glory, things that people cannot achieve becomes very easy for you because the King of glory is there with you. Ask the King of glory this morning to reside in me, to reside in you. King of glory, enter into my business. When the King of glory entered into the business of Peter, the poor fisherman, the story was different. We all know the story. This was the man, him and his partners, they fished all night. They could not catch one single fish. But when the King of glory stepped into their boat, it was a different matter. King of kings, the King of glory, step into my boat this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, step into me. Let me reflect your image. Step into my life. Let me reflect your image, Lord. Step into my health. The blind were made to see. The poor were delivered from their oppression. The lame walked. Why? Because you step into their lives. King of glory, step into my life this morning. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want you to go to God silently. What particular area of your life you want the King of glory to touch? As you come to thank him this morning, he will do it for you. We have seen him turning people who are renters to landlords. We have seen the homeless getting their own houses. We have seen him turning employees to employers. In which area of your life do you want the King of glory to touch? Particularly, that is very urgent. So that by the end of the month, you will testify. Talk to God. Okay? Talk to God. Father, my ministry. Touch me. That battle of life, you are declared a winner this morning, for the King of glory steps in. Thank you, my Father. And so, Father, I want to thank you on behalf of your people, on behalf of the church, on behalf of those that are here and those that are watching us online and those that are listening to us. Father, every area that they have cried unto you for you to touch as a King of glory, do it this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be testimonies in the life of your children in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, areas where sins is not allowing you to touch our life, we cry this morning, O Lord, for mercy. And so your mercy will surround us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.